This is the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network.
On the outside forever, Mo and Dazzling Gem. Mo Tom got stopped hard. It's Gun Runner. Gun Runner for Laurent Giroux. Clear to the finish in the Louisiana Derby.
Lani gets the U change. Polar River still three quarters of a length away. Lani in front. It's Japan's Derby. Lani has beaten Polar River, U change, and Vale Dory.
Presented by Adena Springs, Airdrie Stud, Castleton Lions, Claiborne Farm, Coolmore, Daily Racing Form, Darley, DerbyBox.com, Double Diamond Farm, FarmPaint.com, Flair Equine Nasal Strips, Gainesway, Gulfstream Park, Jimmy John's, Kentucky Bank, Kentucky Downs, the Kentucky Horse Racing Commission, Kirkwood Stables, Lane's End, the Lexus Store of Lexington, Maryland Thoroughbred, Mill Ridge, the New York Thoroughbred Breeding and Development Fund, Nicholson Insurance, Owner View, Pin Oak Stud, RacehorseDraft.com, Ramsey Farm, Santa Anita, Spendthrift Farm, Sunrise Stallions, Tony's of Lexington, the University of Louisville Equine Industry Program, Washington Hay, and Woodbine Entertainment.
Mort Spirit confidently handled, gets a left-handed reminder now, and he's trying to get them. Here he comes. And Mort Spirit is progressing very nicely under Gary Stevens as he takes care of business with plenty left in the tank.
Creator of sudden breaking news. Creator's almost there. It's Ricardo Santana Jr. It's Creator to win the Arkansas Derby.
Now, here's Mike Penna and Jude Feld.
Good morning once again, everyone, and welcome to the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network. Mike Penna, Baron of the Backstretch, alongside my usual entry mate here on the program. You know him as the pontiff of the Pick Four, Pope Jude, Jude Feld. And we are with you once again from Hollywood Casino at Charlestown Races. The fourth consecutive year we have come to this venue to bring you our exclusive coverage of the Charlestown Classic, the eighth running coming up this afternoon, $1.25 million on the line. And boy, another rock-solid field set to go to the post later today, JT.
Yeah, it's a fantastic race. One of the best ones in recent memory, I think. It's going to be an excellent betting race, and we've got horses coming from all over, which is usually what happens here for the Charlestown Classic. Not the greatest weather this morning, but it's supposed to improve after 9 o'clock.
Yeah, it is. We were expecting some rain last night and into this morning. That is exactly what happened. It's been kind of a light rain. The main track right now has some moisture in it. I would say that it's more on the sloppy side, maybe turning more toward muddy at this point. But we expect it to dry out throughout the afternoon as we edge closer to post time for the Charlestown Classic. You mentioned horses coming from all over for this race, which has become customary in the past seven runnings. This afternoon, we'll see 10 horses arriving from six different states to contest the Charlestown Classic. They'll be here from California, from Florida, Louisiana, Maryland, Arkansas, and right here in West Virginia. How cool is that?
Yeah, it's great. It's a fantastic race and event we look forward to. They always roll out the red carpet for us here at Charlestown, and our good friend Eric Zimney makes sure that we have everything we need to bring you all the action.
Well, this is the co-richest race in the United States outside of the Triple Crown and the Breeders' Cup. A lot of people probably don't realize that. $1.25 million. But it's not just about the Classic here today. You have a 13-race program, seven stakes races, and then the $100,000 guaranteed pick four, which is races 9 through 12. It will wrap up with that Classic, which is race 12.
Well, somebody suggested last night that maybe Mr. Zimney should have thrown in a buck out of his wallet and made it the richest race.
Yeah, that would have been okay, too. But trust me, he has done enough, and they have done yeoman's work with this particular race and with this venue, too. You know, we talk about this every year, Jude. This is one of our favorite stops, and if people have not had the privilege, and I'll call it a privilege, of coming to Hollywood Casino at Charlestown Races, you're really missing out. If you're a fan of horse racing, if you're a fan of gaming, this is the place to be because they have a gorgeous casino connected to the racetrack. It's all very, very clean, very modern. The racetrack itself is really cool. They had night racing here last night, which you got a chance to take in some of that right after our dinner with Eric Zimney. And, boy, just a great setting and a lot of things happening. Even Sinbad making a trip here tonight.
Yeah, the two sold-out shows for Sinbad. But it's a great place to race. It's a great place to visit. You're going to love it if you come here. And the casino was really hopping last night. I was standing there thinking, man, I should get in the casino business. This place is really rolling. There were just tons of people. Everybody was having a good time. You know, the drinks were flowing and all the machines were buzzing. And it was quite a spectacle last night. I was standing away from the craps table that you were participating in. I didn't want to.
Unfortunately, I did get into the casino business last night.
I didn't want to jinx
it. It's an expensive business.
But it was fun people watching. And I'll tell you, the barn area here is just beautiful. It's very, very clean and nice. They have invested a lot of money in that, which is always, as a former trainer, I can tell you that that's very important to me, and it's great to be in a barn area that's clean and in good repair, because even some of the major tracks around the country don't have that to offer. So I think anybody that comes to Charlestown, whether you're coming to race or you're coming to have some fun, you'll enjoy it.
Yeah, things are really going in the right direction here, and they've really built something special with this Grade 2 Charlestown Classic. Now, keep in mind, when you think about the horses coming from six different states, the one state that is always prevalent here in the Charlestown Classic is California. And we're going to see three horses in this afternoon's race that are coming from the Santa Anita Handicap. You're going to have Donworth from the barn of Doug O'Neill. These are the same connections that are going to bring us undefeated Nyquist 2 weeks from today in Louisville in the Kentucky Derby. Donworth was the 3-1 morning line favorite in the Santa Anita Handicap. He had a bit of a rough trip that day. And JT, here's a horse that, as Doug said earlier this week, he will be running freely here this afternoon.
Yeah, well, freely.
Like, yeah, running free early is how he put it.
Well, he's a very talented horse. He looked like he was going to be any kind of horse last year. He was sold privately. Doug got to take over his training from Graham Motion, and he did have a very difficult trip in the Santa Anita Handicap. A lot of people felt he should have won that race. So it'll be interesting to see how he handles this track and how he runs this afternoon.
Yeah, I want to correct something I said there, too. I said the 3-1 favorite in the Santa Anita Handicap. Donworth was actually second choice in that race at odds of 5-2. He's the 3-1 morning line favorite for this afternoon's Charlestown Classic. Then you have Imperative, who also competed in that Santa Anita Handicap, and he likes Charlestown. I think that might be an understatement. He won this race in 2014, came back last year, and finished a very, very game second behind Moreno.
Yeah, he's a horse for course, as they say, and you know, he's got ability, and he definitely loves it here. I think he perks up when he comes to Charlestown, as some horses do when they get to their favorite track, just like we do when we get to our favorite track.
Well, I remember broadcasting that race, too, that Charlestown Classic, when he upset Game On Dude. It was the biggest upset in the history of the Charlestown Classic. 27-1 were the off odds, or pretty close to that, I remember. And how about this, JT? Imperative, since that victory in 2014, 0-15, but he's been knocking on the door against some of the heavy hitters in the sport.
Yeah, well, you know, it's tough. Long time between drinks, and he runs against the best horses. And,
yeah,
you know, he may not be, you know, your typical, you know, Grade 1 handicap horse, but when he gets to Charlestown, it's a whole different story.
Well, the third horse coming from the Santa Anita Handicap is Hard Aces. He was runner-up in the Big Cap last time out, and he's been knocking heads with some of the best in the sport as well. You look back through his running lines, you see names like California Chrome, Beholder, Shared Belief. This is a horse, JT, that is so consistent, but boy, he has faced the heavy hitters.
Well, I don't know if I'd call him consistent. You never know which hard the horse is going to show up. You know, he runs in and he runs out, and he does a lot of you know, zigging and zagging when it comes to results, but he's capable of a big race occasionally, and that's what they're hoping for tonight.
Well, if he finishes second or better in this race later this afternoon, it would make him racing's newest millionaire, so a lot on the line for Hard Aces. The 1-2 finishers from the New Orleans Handicap are here with Smarvelous and International Star, both trained by Mike Maker, who was the top trainer in the 2015 Penn Gaming Challenge Series. Then you have our friend Todd Pletcher, who has never won to overlook in any Graded Stakes race. He sends out Stanford. Todd looking for his second Charlestown Classic win. You remember he pulled it off with Caixa Electronica in 2012.
Yeah, that was one of my favorite Charlestown Classics. That horse, Kaija Electronica, one of my favorite horses of all time. Just a real hard-knocking horse, could sprint, could route, could carry his speed, and just a fantastic animal. But, you know, Todd, you can never count him out, and Stanford's got that great tactical speed. He's got a nice post, lots of things in his favor today.
How about our old friend, the six-year-old gelding Paige McKenney, third in last year's Charlestown Classic. He comes into this race on a four-race winning streak. And, Jude, how about this stat for Paige McKenney? You talk about consistent. He has finished in the top three in 23 consecutive starts. Now, those starts have come on seven different tracks, six different distances, and two different surfaces. This horse, he's a racehorse.
Oh, yeah, he's just a machine. I really, really like him. He fires every time, and, you know, he's a lot like Kaija Electronica. It doesn't matter what distance, what surface. I mean, he's out there running as hard and as fast as he can run, and he's got a big chance tonight too, I think.
We're going to hear from his trainer, Mary Epler, coming up after this first commercial break. Looking forward to hearing from her, hearing what she has to say about her six-year-old gelding, Paige McKenney, as he gets set to once again tackle the big boys in this afternoon's Charlestown Classic. Then we're going to hear from the newest member of the Charlestown team, that is announcer Paul Espinoza, good friend of ours. He was part of our Breeders' Cup coverage earlier this year, or late last year here on the network. Looking forward to visiting with Paul right around 9 o'clock Eastern time. Pete Rotundo is going to join us from the Breeders' Cup. He, of course, is a tremendous handicapper as well. He told me he has the pick four all scoped out for tonight. So we're going to hear from Pete coming up in a little bit, too.
Yeah, he's been working on it for days, and so we want to hear what he has to say. He's a very sharp guy and, you know, knows people from coast to coast. So a lot of people paying attention to who Pete likes. His phone goes off with people looking for tips all the time. So it'll be great to have him on.
And toward the end of the program, we'll be joined by Eric Zimney, who is the Vice President of Racing Operations here at Charlestown and the man responsible for getting us all organized here, getting us set up with everything we need, and really rolling out the red carpet, Jude, as you mentioned earlier. And looking forward to that visit coming up to the end of the program with Eric Zimney. We're going to get to our first break. We will come back and be joined by Mary Epler. Before we do that, though, we want to remind you we have our poll question out there for this morning, and it's pretty simple. Who are you taking to win this afternoon's Charlestown Classic? We just want to know, who do you like to win this race later today? You can tweet to us at HRRN and let us know your response. Of course, you can always email the show, mike@horseracingradio.net, and we'll try to pass along those selections as we move throughout the program here this morning. This is the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network.
Adina Spring Stallion Mucho Macho Man was a precocious two-year-old, finishing runner-up in both the Grade 2 Nashua and Grade 2 Remsen, despite being a June 15th foal. As a three-year-old, Mucho Macho Man displayed his classic ability with an impressive win in the Grade 2 Risen Star before a game third-place finish in the Kentucky Derby. As an older horse, Mucho Macho Man dominated his competition with Grade 1 wins in the Awesome Again, Suburban, Gulfstream Park Handicap, and Breeders' Cup Classic.
Mucho Macho Man and Gary Stevens as they take the Grade 1 Awesome Again in effortless fashion.
Mucho Macho Man wins the 126 Suburban.
And Mucho Macho Man has won the Gulfstream Park Handicap.
Mucho Macho Man, the more they asked, the more he gave.
An earner of $5.6 million, Mucho Macho Man's first foals arrived this spring. Learn more by visiting adinastallions.com.
A multiple graded stakes winner and earner of more than $1 million. AlterNation reeled off four consecutive stakes victories.
AlterNation, just far too much class for this field.
AlterNation running a powerful race here.
Cannot match stride with AlterNation.
And it's a photo AlterNation.
Great breeding from a family of successful sires, grand appearance, and brilliance on the racetrack. AlterNation at Pin Oak Stud.
Here with Joe Brown Nicholson of Nicholson Insurance Agency. Joe, what would be a common misunderstanding between an insured and the insurance company?
Mike, one issue is a policy condition that requires notification when an insured animal becomes sick or injured.
Do you mean in life-threatening situations?
Not just then, but if a veterinarian is called in for treatment other than routine care. Take, for example, if a yearling colt gets his foreleg caught in a fence and tears the skin. The coat is stitched up and everything seems fine, but later the coat develops a systemic infection. Then there is a serious situation that the company knows nothing about.
So the company needs to know, even if it's not a life-threatening situation.
That's right. It's a policy condition. The company has a stake in the health of the animal because of the existing insurance policy. The company might want to have its own vet examine the horse. In most cases, though, just a call or email is all that is needed.
For all your equine and general insurance needs, including farm owners, liability, homeowners, auto, and more, contact Nicholson Insurance Agency at 859-224-7080. You gotta know Joe.
Power.
It's Ricardo Santana Jr. It's Creator to win the Arkansas Derby.
Passion.
Lonnie in front. It's Japan's Derby. Lonnie has beaten Polar River, U Change, and Vale Dory.
Performance.
Mo Heyman pulls away. And Mo Heyman remains unbeaten, winning the Fountain of Youth over Zulu.
Gainsway Stallion Tappet, a two-time champion sire who was once again number one in 2016, with three major Kentucky Derby contenders, Arkansas Derby winner Creator, UAE Derby hero Lonnie, and Mo Heyman, dominant winner of the Holy Bowl and Fountain of Youth. In all, Tappet has already produced seven graded stakes horses and four graded stakes winners this year, and has once again proven to be a force in the sales ring as the leading worldwide two-year-old sire with an average of $870,000. Tappet, standing at Gainsway.
Power, passion, performance. You know I'm talking about Gainsway Farm.
Yo, guys, they call me Jersey Joe, but it's only Joe Bravo. Call me whatever you like. Just so happy that you're listening to Horse Racing Radio Network.
You're listening to the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network. This freaky fast performance is brought to you by your Lexington, Kentucky area Jimmy Johns.
A quarter of a mile to go, and they make the turn for home. Majestic Hussar and Green Grotto head-to-head, and Majestic Affair to the center of the track is Paige McKinney, who's coming now. And Paige McKinney on the outside of the final furlong of Majestic Affair in a battle in the General George. Majestic Affair, Paige McKinney's digging in on the outside. A 16th of a mile to go. Majestic Affair, Paige McKinney on the outside. Paige McKinney. Paige McKinney wins it by a head. Paige McKinney from Majestic Affair. Then it's Nummy Inspired third. Green Grotto is fourth and Fabulous Kid, followed by Any Court in the Storm. Majestic Hussar and Warrior of the Roses was the last to cross at the General George. Paige McKinney from claim to General George fame.
Dave Rodman having a little fun with the call of that Grade 3 General George Stakes. That was seven furlongs. February 16th at Laurel, Paige McKinney, the victor that afternoon, as he has been so many times in his career. Paige McKinney coming into this afternoon's Charlestown Classic on a four-race winning streak. And Jude, we talked about his consistency before the commercial break. This is a horse that was third in this race a year ago, and every time you take him to the track, he shows up, and that's all you could ask for.
Yeah, no, he's one of my favorites, and every time he runs, I try to make sure that I get to watch the race. The General George was just a very impressive performance, dropping back in distance to 7/8. Even though I'm a huge fan, I was kind of questioning, can he really get the 7/8 now that he's older and been running two turns all the time? But he's such a star. I mean, you look at his form, it's outstanding. He's got tons of triple-digit Brisnet speed figures. His last three, 108, 104, and 106. So you got to have your running shoes on when you're running against Paige McKinney.
Well, you're going to hear Paige McKinney go to the post in the Charlestown Classic exclusively with us this afternoon on the network beginning 4:30 Eastern. You can stream that coverage worldwide on our website, horseracingradio.net. You can stream us on your computer, your smartphone, your tablet, any mobile device. Just click Listen Live at horseracingradio.net. Now, we told you Paige McKinney is sent to the post by trainer Mary Epler. This is a very busy morning for her, but she's nice enough to spend a little time with us on the show this morning. Mary, welcome to the program.
Why, thank you.
Yeah, happy to have you with us and looking forward to seeing Paige go to the post later this afternoon here at Charlestown. I want to read this stat to you. We talked about this just a short time ago, but I want to get your opinion on this and your thoughts. When you look at Paige McKinney and you talk about his consistency, here's a horse that has finished in the top three in 23 consecutive starts. And Mary, they've been at seven different tracks, six different distances, and on two different surfaces. This horse is just a racehorse.
He is. He's just phenomenal. He shows up every single time. He's doing wonderful coming into this race.
What makes him so good?
I don't know. He's just, he's got so much heart and just keeps grinding.
Well, he's a son of Eavesdropper, which is a King Mambo line. And, you know, you would think he might be an excellent turf horse. His turf record is outstanding. I mean, he's won 5 of 14. He can run in the mud. He's won 3 out of 6 on off tracks. He's won 8 out of 23 on fast tracks. I mean, he's kind of a dream come true for a trainer.
He is, and such a nice horse to be around. He's very easy, very laid back. And he runs on anything.
Well, he certainly does. And, Mary, when you think back on everything that you've accomplished in your career, you've won more than 700 races. You have, what, 4 greatest stakes victories to your credit, including even the Grade 1 Futurity in 1996 with Trader. But Paige McKenney can give you a 5th greatest stakes later today. We mentioned that he was 3rd in the race a year ago. Look back on that effort and talk about how you think that this afternoon's race may play out now that he has a race over the track.
Well, I think that he'll probably, with Caramano's riding now, which he had never ridden over the track, so I think that he was a little bit cautious with himself and with Paige. Where I think now he knows that Paige can handle the turns, so he can save more ground. Let's hope. With the 9-hole, it's a little bit tough, but I think there's enough speed and enough deep closers that we can get over and save ground.
Yeah, maybe you can get first run on the finishers, and of course the track's a little off right now, but we're supposed to have better weather beginning 10 o'clock this morning and going on towards the race, so the track will probably be fast by the time they run the Classic.
Well, even if it's not, he runs on the wet. So to me, it doesn't really matter whether it's fast or muddy or...
Mary, this is a very unique racetrack. 6 furlongs, which means that this race is going to go around a few different turns here at a mile and an eighth. When you think about bringing a horse up to a race like this, on a unique surface like this, are there things that you have to do differently as a trainer?
I don't. But I don't know whether anybody else does.
Well, I think
I didn't do anything different with him.
Is he an easy horse to train? Do you have to do anything tricky with him? Or?
No, he's as easy as they can be. He's absolutely perfect to train. A little kid could get on him and gallop him.
Well, you know, Horatio's had a great relationship with Paige for a long time. Why is Horatio such a good fit with this horse, Mary?
Well, I think he knows the horse. But really, if you look back, Frankie Pennington did well with him. Anybody that I've put on him, Jose Lescano, and he got off really bad down there in the Jewel at Gulfstream. And Jose got along with him. So I think really anybody can. But since Karamanos has been on him and won with him, he stays on him.
Well, now that you have this relationship with Horatio, and he has a relationship and a successful relationship with Paige McKenney, what's that like for a trainer when they give a leg up to a jockey that knows a horse so well? Do you even have to say anything?
No, because, you know, when I was thinking about going into the General George, I asked Horacio, I said, what do you think? He said, Mary, I can put him anywhere I want. If in any race I wanted to go to the front, I could go to the front with him. Or I can come off the pace. So Paige is a horse that you can do anything with. He has run and won very close to the front end. I don't know whether you've seen some of that on his form, but so it's good that Horacio knows that even if something happens in the race and he gets shuffled back, he can still come on.
With the General George, how did you come to the decision? He was entered in 2 races. There was one I believe, the day before, and the general, George. How did you make that decision which way you wanted to go?
Well, one of the reasons why is because the week before, the racetrack had been closed a couple days. And Paige was getting sharper and sharper, not being able to go out and gallop, which is a little bit unlike Paige. So I thought, gosh, this is the opportunity to try the 7/8. Just because we had to just go around the shed row and he was getting sharper.
Mm-hmm. Well, he handled it just fine that afternoon and looking to handle the mile in an A Charlestown Classic this afternoon as well and avenge that third place finish from a year ago. Mary, we know you have a lot of things to get to this morning, but I'm just curious, when you have a horse that is this consistent and has been for all of his career like this, now he's 6 years old, what's the key to keeping a horse able to compete at a high level like this and do it consistently even at the age of six?
Well, actually, just the past 3 months, I think he's getting more and more like a racehorse, where, you know, last year he was more like a pony. So I think the aging with him is great because he's getting more competitive. He's acting more like a racehorse. And knock on wood, he's always been a very sound horse.
Well, Paige McKinney has all the pieces to take care of business later this afternoon. And, Mary, we want to thank you for joining us here on the program for a few minutes. We know you have to get back to training, so we'll let you go. Like all of our guests who appear on the program, you're going to receive a gift courtesy of Embrace the Race. It's the apparel for the horse racing lifestyle. People can embrace their passion at embracetherace.com. Mary, all the best later this afternoon in the Charlestown Classic, and hope to see you in the winner's circle with Paige McKinney.
Oh, that would be great. Thank you.
All right. Good luck, Mary Epler, here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. And, Jude, that's a little bit of a scary thought to think that he's still improving and getting better.
Well, I mean, his four-race winning streak kind of indicates that. He's just a very special horse, and I would love to see him win this race today. I think he's one of those horses that, you know, just has been an overachiever his whole life, and he's really cool.
All right, we're going to get to our next segment. It is our weekly Lexus Legends of the Turf segment, and brought to you each and every Saturday at this time by the Lexus Store of Lexington. Don't forget, they're on the corner of New Circle and Liberty in Lexington, Kentucky. And if you're in the market for a new vehicle, pre-owned vehicle, it doesn't matter. You go see the Godfather, Tony Ottiano, and you go see Mike Hendricks, and you go see all the great folks at the Lexus Store of Lexington. They are horse people. They support the industry. They want to be the dealership of the horse industry in Central Kentucky. And guess what? They've accomplished that over the past decade. They do a great job. It's the Lexus Store of Lexington. And this is your Lexus Legends of the Turf. And we're back with more on the Equine Forum.
On Saturday afternoon, August 31st, 1955, at Washington Park in the suburbs of the Windy City, Chicago, on the shores of Lake Michigan, two giants of the world of thoroughbred racing were about to square off in a rubber match, as it were. Each had defeated the other during the year, and the arguments amongst fans and horsemen alike had been raging all year long as to which one indeed was the best, Nashua or Swaps. Nashua, the son of Nasrullah, was racing in the colors of Belair Stud, was conditioned by the venerable Sonny Jim Fitzsimmons, and had the crafty, wily, hard-nosed, heady Eddie Arcaro in the saddle. Swaps, that year's Kentucky Derby winner, in which he whipped Nashua, by the way, was owned by Rex Ellsworth, trained by Mish Tenney, and had the services of Willie Shoemaker as his reinsman. The two stellar stalwarts were equally weighted, and the distance was 1 1/4 miles. The strategy was put forth in the paddock as follows. Fitzsimmons told Arcaro to, quote, keep the other horse busy all the way and let the best horse win, unquote. Tenney told Shoemaker, quote, save a little horse at all times and run when you have to. Ride him as you always have, unquote. The track surface at Washington that day was on the slow side and drying out, and that, as it turned out, was most probably a key factor in the race itself. Nashua, breaking from post two, went away very quickly under solid urging from Arcaro and assumed an early lead. Swaps, breaking from post four, was hustled up by Shoemaker, who would have none of Arcaro's attempted ploy, and they were both soon side by side. They were right together, with Nashua holding the slightest of leads as they went the first quarter in 23 flat, the half and 46 flat, and the first six panels in 110 and 2. On down the backside and on into the turn, they remained exactly the same. Between the 3/8 pole and the quarter pole, smack in the middle of the turn, it appeared Swaps was ready to make his big move. As they came off the top of the turn to the straight, the Wiley Arquero took Nashua out off the rail just a little bit to find a more solid footing, and Shoemaker had a choice to make, to either drop down to the fence where the going was deep and tiring, or to go to the overland route. Schumacher opted to take his mount out and around, if indeed he could. Well, by this time, Nashua had opened a clear lead, and Swaps was a beaten horse. Nashua continued to increase his margin through the final 3/16 to ultimately cross the wire, a 6.5-length winner in a final time of 2:04.01 in the deep going. The key to the race was, without any shadow of the doubt, the impeccable strategy of Arquero, who lived up to the fullest his reputation as a master reinsman and the affectionate moniker of Eddie Eddie. Every time Shoemaker had let Swaps put a notch on the backside and into the far turn, Arquero had responded in kind with Nashua, and that stratagem on the turn, when forcing Swaps out some, was the work of a true artist in the saddle. After the race, Shoemaker said he felt Swaps did not take a liking to the track condition and surface, and it was later learned that his right foreleg, on the foot of which he wore a protective leather pad between frog and shoe, had gone lame. Nevertheless, the score had been settled, the way it should have been, on the racetrack, against each other, August 31st, 1955, Washington Park in the Windy City, a great moment in thoroughbred racing.
The late Pete Kulis with your Lexus Legends of the Turf segment here this morning on the Equine Forum. We're going to get to a short commercial break. When we come back, we're going to update you on our poll question, which we asked earlier on the program. We'll let you weigh in on that as we move throughout the 2 hours here this morning. We'll talk a little bit of Derby, and we'll tell you why the Charlestown Classic should be a Grade 1 and not a Grade 2. We're back with more on the Equine Forum. Stay with us.
Lexus, once driven, there's no going back. Through inspired design, relentless innovation, and uninhibited performance, Lexus continues their pursuit to perfection with not only precisely engineered automobiles, but powerful, profound, and passionate experiences that move you like never before. Hey everyone, Mike Penna here, and extremely proud to say that I am a Lexus owner, or better yet, a member of the Lexus family at the Lexus store of Lexington. I've told you for more than a decade that the people make the difference at the Lexus store, and that is why I am so proud to be their customer and a member of their family. If you're in the horse business, there's no reason to look anywhere else. As the sponsor of the Grade 2 Lexus Raven Run at Keeneland every fall, the team at the Lexus store of Lexington is committed to supporting the horse industry and to being the dealership of the equine industry here in Central Kentucky. See for yourself. Stop in and talk horse racing with the godfather, Tony Attiano, and all the great folks at the Lexus store of Lexington. And I promise you will love your Lexus experience.
Pin Oak Studs, Broken Vow, ranks among the top sires in North America every year. Runners by this outstanding son of Unbridled have earned nearly $54 million and won major stakes on all surfaces from coast to coast. Sought after in the sales ring and hard to catch on the track, Broken Vow consistently has success at the highest level. Broken Vow at Pin Oak Stud.
Bloom Racing.
Majestic City could also still do it, and here he comes.
Majestic City running a big one.
Started by former jockey and 35-year racing industry veteran Jeffrey Bloom, Bloom Racing offers racing partnerships, bloodstock services, pinhooking, and private race management.
Soul Driver the leader, though. Soul Driver in front.
Experience the fun, excitement, and exclusive access of racehorse ownership with Bloom Racing. Forming racing partnerships now. Get in on the action at bloomracing.com.
When it's time to paint the fences and barns, think Farm Paint. At Farm Paint, you get the industry's best coatings and paints factory direct at low, low prices. Farm Paint is your source for quality paints, roof coatings, dustless arena footings, and more. You can purchase online or drop into a Farm Paint store near you with locations in Heart of Bluegrass Country at 700 Phillips Lane in Lexington, Kentucky, Columbus, Ohio, and Sandusky, Ohio. Buy factory direct and save at farmpaint.com. That's farmpaint.com.
What is it about Tony's steaks and seafood that makes it such an incredible dining experience? Well, it could be the steaks. One reviewer said, "This is steak nirvana." Or how about the great seafood? the incredible atmosphere, and service that's unmatched anywhere. All of those things. It's Tony's of Lexington on Main Street, right across from Triangle Park. Come in and become part of Tony's family.
I'm back with Dr. Jim Chiappetta from Flair Equine Nasal Strips. Jim, why are we seeing more horsemen around the world using Flair strips?
Mike, I think more horsemen are realizing the simple fact that breathing easier is critical for horses' health and performance. When running, horses are bringing in about 10 bathtubs of air every minute through the narrowest part of the airway that collapses at speed. What the strips do is support the tissue in that region so it collapses less, so horses bring the air in more efficiently.
Breathe easy with Flair strips. FlairStrips.com.
Hello, this is Bill Mott. You're listening to Horse Racing Radio Network.
This is the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network.
Around the far turn, Mike Smith and Game On Dude, a neck in front. Now they're joined by Long River. And Imperative is running a big one on the far outside. Imperative has circled up outside of Long River. And Game On Dude and the three of them will turn for home together. Moreno is fourth. Kent DeSormo and Imperative have taken the lead on the outside. Game On Dude is all out. He is back running in second. Moreno is third. In an absolute shocker, Imperative and Kent DeSormo have won the Charlestown Classic. It was Game On Dude second, Moreno was third, and Clubhouse Ride was fourth.
Welcome back to the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network. Mike Penna, Jude Feld with you at Hollywood Casino at Charlestown Races as we get set for our exclusive coverage of the eighth running of the Grade 2 Charlestown Classic this afternoon. Post time coming up at 6:05 Eastern. Our coverage beginning 4:30 Eastern time here on the network. You can stream us worldwide on our website, horseracingradio.net, and don't forget to take us with you wherever you go on your computer, smartphone, or tablet, all there at horseracingradio.net. Jude, that call from Larry Colmus of the 2014 Charlestown Classic, the biggest upset in the history of the race, where he was nearly 27-1. He defeated heavy favorite Game On Dude, who looked unbeatable that year, but Imperative has been a horse for course, so to speak, because he won that year. He was second last year behind Moreno, and he's back in action again this year as well.
Yeah, well, you don't want to miss any chances at those million-dollar pots, you know. So not surprising that he's back here for this race. He really loves Charlestown, and he, you know, he's a pretty decent horse. He's another horse that on any given day he could throw in a big race. He's not the most consistent animal in the world. He's only won three races in his 30 start career, but $1.8 million looks good on the page. And as Jack Vanberg once said,
he won the right three.
Yeah, Jack Vanberg once said, you can't buy groceries with Winner's Circle pictures. So that's a true story.
Well, and he gets Mike Smith aboard again today, and we know Mike Smith, who was aboard Game On Dude, by the way, when he got upset by Imperative in 2014. Mike Smith knows this course, and the guy's a Hall of Famer for a reason, and he is the all-time leading jockey in Charlestown Classic history in terms of earnings. No surprise that this horse is back here today and likely one of the horses to beat.
Yeah, well, you know, Mike's done quite well on this horse. He got beat a nose in the San Antonio this year, a Grade 2 race to Hopportunity, who came out of that race, ran great in Dubai. So, you know, he's been knocking heads with some of the heavy hitters, and now he's back on his favorite track. And you know, we were here when Mike Smith guided Game On Dude to victory in the Charlestown Classic, and that was a night I won't forget. Joe Torre was here. He spent like a half an hour after the race signing autographs for kids, letting kids put on his World Series ring.
It was
chilly. Joe was just outstanding, and so you know, it was a big night here. So Mike knows his way around this track. He can ride anywhere, and it's certainly a plus for Imperative to have Mike Smith in the saddle.
Well, we asked you to participate in our poll question this morning, and you can do that at HRRN on Twitter, and we kept it pretty simple. The poll question is, who do you like to win this afternoon's Charlestown Classic? And there are four choices when you go to our Twitter page: Imperative, Don Worth, Stanford, or all others. So you get your choice of those contenders, and which one do you think is leading?
Imperative.
You peaked.
No.
Yeah, you just looked at my phone.
I just looked at the poll. I don't have my glasses on. I couldn't see what was on your phone. If there was a picture of me naked on the front of your phone, I wouldn't be able to recognize it.
No, those are hidden.
Oh, okay.
I keep those hidden.
Okay,
JT.
Good.
Special
good,
place for you.
Yeah. People ask me, why are you on Mike Pena's show? And I go, because he has naked pictures of me.
Yeah. I had to get a bigger screen for my phone, though. No offense.
Ooh, the wide-angle lens. Oh, boy, this is deteriorating.
Anyways, you're right. It is imperative. Back to the poll question.
Right.
It is imperative. 32% saying imperative is going to win the Charlestown Classic. Now, we did receive an email as well. Don't forget, you can email the show with your answer, mike@horseracingradio.net. Smarvelous is the one email that we received. Too much to like about Smarvelous.
Was that Ella Starr?
It was not.
Oh, okay. Because that's who he picked in the Equibase Race of the Week, I believe.
Yep. Yeah, Smarvelous, the New Orleans Handicap winner, getting some respect there as well. But don't forget, you can participate at HRRN on Twitter. We told you we were going to talk a little bit of Derby, and one of the major contenders and maybe the likely favorite, Nyquist, was in action this morning at Keeneland. He was supposed to work yesterday, but because of the inclement weather in the Lexington area, they postponed it to this morning. And Jude, you have an update.
Yeah, well, he worked very well by all accounts. My friend Bruno DiGiulio posted a tweet with the fractions 27-1, 39-flat, 51-1, 103-3, 115-1, and out in 129. He made up six lengths on Rallis from start to finish in that work. And Doug, after the work, said it was just maintenance, and we're locked and loaded and ready to go. So I believe he's going to have one more breeze on Saturday, a week from today at Keeneland, and then ship over to Churchill. So looking forward to being out at Keeneland next Saturday morning for the breeze and see how he goes. And very exciting time for the O'Neill stable. I've been hanging around down there a little bit, and they're very happy with everything that Nyquist is doing. So we'll keep our fingers crossed it continues and he stays happy and healthy right into the Kentucky Derby.
Well, it has to continue for 14 days, 9 hours, 51 minutes, and 53 seconds.
Well,
because that is post time for the Kentucky Derby.
Another horse that evidently was out at Churchill this morning was Lanny, the Japanese horse. And our colleague Steve Bick posted a tweet about him. And you know, Steve's a very observant guy. And his take on Lanny was that he was out for a jog and apparently continues to find the environs, shall we say, stimulating. So Lanny's an interesting horse. My friend Yutaka Take, going to ride him in the Derby. Take's like the Michael Jordan of Japan. He's a tremendous star over there, and he knows his way around international racetracks. So I'm kind of intrigued to see Lonnie in person myself. Of course, I'll be up there the week before Derby, clocking horses and stuff, and paying attention to what's going on. So looking forward to that. It's always a fun time of year. Derby week's awesome.
Yeah, and Lonnie, let's go ahead and throw this out there too, because I think a lot of people, when they think of Lonnie, they think that here's a Japanese bred horse. He was actually bred in Kentucky. He's a son of Tappet and campaigned in Japan before he came to the UAE to win the UAE Derby in Medan, and then made the trip over here to Churchill Downs. So he's traveled like 7,200 miles to get to Churchill Downs.
Well, you know, it's interesting because that was the plan.
Right.
You know, it wasn't
no horse has ever won the Derby after running in the UAE Derby. Maybe he'll be the first. Who knows?
We'll find out. Running in Japan.
Right.
So, I mean, that's not surprising because it's, you know, international travel for horses has become a lot easier in the last several years. But, you know, I think of all the horses that have run in those two races or run in Japan and run in the United Arab Emirates, this horse has the best chance by far. I mean, because they've been planning on this. This is not something, you know, he didn't just win the UAE Derby and got points and said, oh, well, we're going to take a shot. This was their plan all along. And I like that. And I like the fact that he's by Tappet, right? Tappet's going to have, what, four horses at least?
He's got, yeah, at least three
in the
or
Kentucky
four.
Derby. But, yeah. I mean, he's an American-bred horse. He's done everything they've asked of him, and I think it's awesome. Plus, he's going to have a great rider on him. So, a real interesting horse,
well,
I think.
And here's the other thing. You mentioned horses coming from Japan. This is only the second time this has happened. The last Japanese-based horse to compete in the Kentucky Derby was Ski Captain, who was 14th in 1995. Guess who the jockey was?
Yutaka Take?
Yes, sir.
Okay.
there you go.
So he's got Derby experience as well.
You mentioned this being a bit stimulating, or he continues to be stimulating when he comes out. They've actually nicknamed Lonnie, the local horsemen have nicknamed him Godzilla, because every time he comes out of his stall and starts to make his way toward the track, he just starts screaming at the top of his lungs. And, he's very much Godzilla-like in that respect.
Yeah, well, he's a kind of an interesting horse, and he seems to really enjoy his work. And that's what Steve Bick said. He found the surroundings stimulating.
we can only imagine what that might be.
He's
out there, so to speak.
Yeah. He's showing off to the ladies.
All right, well, don't forget, we're going to have 20 hours of Derby Week coverage coming your way here on the network. It kicks off Tuesday morning prior to the Derby. Now, that is May 3rd. You can join us for the first of three consecutive Derby Countdown shows, which are presented by your Lexington, Kentucky area Jimmy John's. You can do that 8 to 10 a.m. Eastern, and what a week it's going to be. We'll bring you coverage of the post position draw. We'll bring you coverage of the KTA-KTOB Derby Trainer Dinner on Tuesday night, as we have for the past couple of years. And then we're going to bring you all of that race coverage on Friday and Saturday with our exclusive coverage of the Kentucky Oaks. Of course, the Kentucky Derby on Saturday afternoon in partnership with NBC Sports and Westwood One. And then all the Derby undercard coverage. And we want to thank TwinSpires.com for their support of that weekly coverage as well.
Yeah, it's just a fantastic week. You know how much I love the lead-in shows and all of that. And it's so interesting. People come by and kind of spill their guts to us early in the week about their horses and who they like and who's training good. And you can read between the lines with the trainers and the owners. And it's just a great atmosphere. If you have a chance to go out, you know, you're welcome to stop by our booth and say hello. We're right there on the backside. You'll find us. I have the big HRN banner up. But a lot of people come out and enjoy the morning training, have a cup of coffee, and there's free donuts there. And it's just a blast. And everybody should take advantage of that lives in Kentucky.
Yeah, and 8:30 Eastern is when all the Oaks and Derby horses will be on the track. There will be no other horses allowed on the training or on the main track to train other than Oaks and Derby contenders, that's an exciting time. Everybody starts huddling toward the rail to get a look at all the horses as they make their way onto the track and then as they gallop past you as well. So make sure you join us beginning the Tuesday prior to the Kentucky Derby. That is May 3rd. We kick it all off 8 to 10 a.m. Eastern with the first of three consecutive Derby Countdown shows. And you can go to our website, horseracingradio.net, to see a complete Derby Week schedule. It's all posted for you right now at horseracingradio.net. And I mentioned Twin Spires as one of the major sponsors of that coverage throughout the week. Twin Spires, every time we're on the air, sponsors the Twin Spires HRRN Betback, Jude, and that is on today's Charlestown Classic, and here's the way it works. You go to twinspires.com/HRRN. You make a $7 win bet and a $7 show bet. That's a $14 total bet on one horse in today's Charlestown Classic. A lot of people have said this is the best bet in racing, that we've received tweets, we've received emails from people, because guess what? If your horse finishes worse than third, you lose your $14. So you lose your money. But it doesn't matter, because TwinSpires.com will refund that entire $14 back into your account. So go there now, TwinSpires.com/HRRN. A no-risk $14 bet on today's Charlestown Classic.
Yeah, it's a great idea, especially if you like a horse that's a big price. You know, you can go ahead and take a little bit of a swing, and if he doesn't run well, oh well, no skin off your nose. You just go get your money back, and off you go again.
All right, so we told you that we were going to make a case and tell you why the Charlestown Classic should be a Grade 1 and not a Grade 2. It's never made sense to me over the past couple of years that we've come up here. When you look back at the horses that have competed in this race and the horses that have won this race, why it is not a Grade 1 event. And here are a couple of stats I'm going to throw out to you, and you can weigh in on this, JT, and let me know your thoughts. But the 48 different horses who have started in the Charlestown Classic prior to 2016 have combined for 101 graded stakes wins in their careers, including 29 grade one victories. Since 2006, the three Eclipse Award finalists, how about this step? The three Eclipse Award finalists for older male champion have all met on the track just twice in the year that they were nominated. It happened last year in the Whitney when you had Honor Code, Liam's Map, and Tonalist square off. And it happened right here in the Charlestown Classic in 2011 where you had Acclamation, Game On Dude, and Tis Way.
Yeah.
How about that stat?
Well, you know, the horses that run here are usually very, very good. And the purse is massive. And the competition is stiff. And people point for this race. And it's always been puzzling to me, I mean, especially the last few years, why it hasn't been elevated to grade one status. And I don't know if it has to do with the fact that the track configuration is a little different, but that, in my opinion, shouldn't have anything to do with it. Every track is configured differently for the most part. I mean, you go to Keeneland, it's a mile and a 16th. You know, you go to Belmont, it's a mile and a half. They're certainly not penalized for that. Right,
right, right.
So I just think it's amazing that a race of this caliber doesn't have grade one status, and I also think it should be a win and you're in for the Breeders' Cup.
Well, I got one other stat that this one here blows my mind. This is incredible when you think about this. And if you don't think, if the Great Estates Committee is tuned in right now, and I know a lot of those people do listen to the program, listen to this statistic and tell me you don't think that this deserves a grade one status. There are 10 grade one races on the dirt for horses going 1 mile or longer prior to the Breeders' Cup. 10 grade one races. Since the first Charlestown Classic was run on April 18th of 2009, those races have been run 70 times between them. Those 10 grade one races have been run 70 times between them. 21 out of the 70 times, the race was won by a horse who has run in the Charlestown Classic. Jude, that means 30% of all grade one older horse dirt route races have been won by a horse that has run here in the Classic.
Yeah.
I mean, come on.
Well,
that blows your mind. Well, that's almost
makes it a no-brainer.
Yeah, it does. Yeah. Right, it does. Yeah. And maybe we'll ask Pete Rotundo why it's not a win and you're in for the Breeders' Cup Classic when he comes on.
Let's put him on the hot seat. Yeah,
let's
absolutely.
Get him in the hot seat, too, when he joins us.
Somebody get that frying pan heated up right now. Big old cast iron skillet. Well, not for Pete. You don't need a real big one for Pete.
No, not at all. But no, that's a great stat, and that to me speaks volumes as to what this race is all about and what they've been able to accomplish here at Charlestown.
Yeah, well, it is a great accomplishment. I don't think people even if you haven't been here, you know, you can't even fathom it. And in the old days, Charlestown used to be attracted a lot of lesser horses and. But you see the racing here now, and you see how great it is. I mean, we got a race today. It's a West Virginia bred race. Two horses in the race have won 25 races each over this track. Mm-hmm. 50 races between the two of them. Awesome. And it's just a great place to race, and this event is so cool. And there's no reason that it shouldn't be elevated to one of the top races in the country.
Mike Pennant, it is. Yeah, Mike Pennant, Jude Feld with you on the Horse Racing Radio Network. We're going to get to a short commercial break. We'll come back. We'll get you ready for a busy second half of the program featuring three guests that are going to stop by to the press box with us here this morning. We'll tell you all about it next on the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network, your home for the 2016 Kentucky Derby and Triple Crown.
Click, order, eat. The new way of ordering Jimmy John's Freaky Fast, Freaky Good Sandwiches is a trend that's sweeping the country. With me tonight to discuss this amazing phenomenon is Ed Stephanopoulopoulos.
Hello.
America's favorite sandwich delivery guy.
That's not entirely true, Bob.
Excuse me?
Technically, all Jimmy John's delivery guys are America's favorite sandwich delivery guys, not just me.
I see. Okay, but we're here tonight to...
Actually, what I just said wasn't entirely true either, Bob. See, some of Jimmy John's delivery guys are actually delivery gals.
All right, so now we...
Or women, or ladies, or females, or persons of the non-male gender.
Ed, could we...
Although I guess that would be a mouthful.
A what?
I mean, if I had to say America's favorite sandwich delivery women or ladies or females or persons of a non-male gender.
Okay, let's say that regardless of whether your Jimmy John's sandwich will be delivered by a guy or a gal...
Or a woman or...
The fact remains that now you can order that sandwich online using Jimmy John's amazing click order eat system.
That's correct, sir.
And what would you say is the basis of that system, Ed?
The what?
The basis, the essence, the sine qua non.
It's click order eat, Bob.
Moving along here, Ed, what would you say has made click order eat so wildly popular?
Well, what do you think, Bob?
It's freaky fast.
Bingo, Bob.
Click, order, eat. Jimmy John's freaky fast new online ordering system.
You sound just like a commercial, sir.
Ready for a new way to play the races? RacehorseDraft.com is the daily fantasy horse racing game offering new tournaments every day for both the novice and avid horse racing fan. Play multiple races for one entry fee while playing for points with no complicated gimmicks or handicapping. Play your favorite jockey or racetrack and compete in survivor pools, head-to-head, free games, and small or large money tournaments. RacehorseDraft.com, fantasy horse racing. Where you win with your skill. Visit racehorsedraft.com and play today.
Airdrie Studs Cairo Prince, the most expensive yearling from the great pioneer of the Nile's debut crop and a top-class juvenile winning the Grade 2 Nashua before his memorable battle with the Clip Champion Honor Code in the Remsen. At 3, Cairo Prince was simply sensational in the Grade 2 Holy Bull Stakes, making him the early book favorite for the Kentucky Derby.
Cairo Prince has run away! Cairo Prince and Luis Saez with an emphatic win in the Holy Bull!
Airdrie Studs Cairo Prince. Think about it. Have you been looking for high quality, consistent, and palatable hay, along with a company that offers personal service and attention? Well, your search is over. Washington Hay Company has been feeding your dream for more than 25 years with only the highest quality hay. Their three-tie red, white, and blue string certifies their hay is the finest premium Western Timothy and alfalfa. Direct from Washington State, and with delivery to Keeneland, Churchill Downs, and farms in Central Kentucky, Washington Hay Company is feeding your dream. Learn more by following Washington Hay Company on Facebook today.
Spendthrift Farm Stallion Malibu Moon has produced more Kentucky Derby contenders this decade than any other sire. His five Derby starters are more than Tappet, Into Mischief, Curlin, Giant's Causeway, Kitten's Joy, and Mineshaft. And Malibu Moon is the only sire among that group to have produced a Kentucky Derby winner.
Down to the wire! Orb has won the Kentucky Derby for Sean McGee!
Malibu Moon standing at Spendthrift. Visit SpendthriftFarm.com.
It's time now to shine the spotlight on the Darley Taking the Reins Performer of the Week.
It is Mrs. McDougal to the front as Strike Charmer finds a seam late, takes second. Meanswell back to third, then Mahjong Madness and Selenite, followed by Miss Atomic Bomb. It is going to be Mrs. McDougal to win the Plenty of Grace over Strike Charmer.
Mrs. McDougal, the daughter of Darley Stallion Medaglia d'Oro, added yet another stakes victory to her resume this past weekend, taking the Plenty of Grace stakes at Aqueduct, making her your Darley Taking the Reins Performer of the Week. Mrs. McDougal's victory in Aqueduct's Plenty of Grace was the ninth stakes win by progeny of Medaglia d'Oro in 2016. No other U.S. sire has more stakes wins this year. And two new TDN Rising Stars are now on the scene, Stradivari and Carina, with monster wins this past weekend. To learn more about Medaglia d'Oro and all the Darley Stallions, visit DarleyAmerica.com.
This is Dale Romans, and you're listening to the Horse Racing Radio Network.
If you haven't checked out the Ultimate Kentucky Derby poll at horseracingradio.net, you're really missing out. All of our experts rank the top 20 Kentucky Derby horses each and every week. We update them every single Monday after all the Derby prep races are completed for the weekend. You can check it out on our website, horseracingradio.net, the Ultimate Kentucky Derby poll presented by our friends at brisnet.com. And by the way, it's not just about the poll and our selections and the top 20 list. You can also click on the link at the very top, which takes you to the Brisnet past performances for all of the Kentucky Derby contenders set to go to the post 2 weeks from today. So make sure you check that out on our site, horseracingradio.net. It's the Ultimate Kentucky Derby poll presented by brisnet.com. A lot of people have asked me, Jude, where they can get past performances for the Derby contenders. Well, there you go, right there on our website, and it's all free.
Yeah, well, you can't beat that. And, of course, the Ultimate Derby poll gets updated every week, Monday morning, and it'll be updated again this Monday, although there probably won't be a tremendous amount of change to what we have going on this week. But as we get closer and horses start breezing and people will change their opinions a little bit, I imagine.
You know, we talked about the workout that we saw earlier today from Nyquist and Doug O'Neill saying that next Saturday will be the next time we'll see Nyquist for his final Derby work. But Jenny Reese, who is part of that Ultimate Kentucky Derby poll and has been part of our coverage the past few weeks as we take you down the road to the Kentucky Derby, has been on site at Churchill Downs to talk with so many of the trainers who are getting their horses ready for the Run for the Roses. And if you go to our website, right on the homepage, horseracingradio.net, you're going to see an interview with Steve Asmussen talking about Gunrunner's latest work. You're going to see an interview that was a lot of fun with Neil and Kieran McLaughlin on Mohaman, talking about his most recent workout, and then Tom Amos, who sent out Mo Tom the other morning. Again, Jenny caught up with him earlier this week, and you can hear all those interviews and get the information right from the, well, horse's mouth, kind of. The horse's trainer's mouth.
That was nice of you to say.
How about that?
How about that?
Yeah, pretty cool.
Yeah, no, it is cool, and Jenny's doing a great job, and she spearheads the Ultimate Derby poll, and we're in constant touch on Sunday night and Monday morning as we get that up on the website. So, it's getting to be an exciting time of year, and everybody's looking forward to the first Saturday in May.
Charlestown's new announcer, Paul Espinoza, part of our broadcast team for the Breeders' Cup last year, is going to be calling his first Charlestown Classic later this afternoon. And I know he's sitting here in the on-deck circle. We're going to get to him momentarily, but I figured I'd just up the pressure level a little bit by throwing that out there to the HRN Nation. Paul's going to join us momentarily. He's going to kick off the second half of the program. Pete Rotundo from the Breeders' Cup will be with us right around 9:25 Eastern time, and we'll wrap it up with Eric Zimney, the Vice President of Racing Operations here at Charlestown, right around 9:45 Eastern. We'll do it all next, right after we pause 10 seconds for station identification. This is the Horse Racing Radio Network.
This is the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network.
Nyquist drifting out to the center of the track, but he's far in front. And Nyquist is still unbeaten. He has won the Florida Derby.
Brody's paws at the 16th pole, chased by Kerry Wine. My man Sam running huge from last, but Brody's paws in front. Brody's paws for Luis Saez to win the Toyota Bluegrass.
Adventus trying to go for an upset up the rail. It is Outwork and Adventist. 1-2. They will decide the Wood Memorial. Outwork and Adventist. Here's the wire. Outwork and Adventist. Bob heads under the wire in the wood.
But Exaggerator is finishing with conviction this afternoon. Exaggerator, an absolutely brilliant victory in the Santa Anita Derby.
Now, here's Mike Penna and Jude Feld.
Welcome back. Hour number two of the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network. Mike Penna, Baron of the Backstretch, Jude Feld, Pontiff of the Pick Four. We are live from Hollywood Casino at Charlestown Races, getting you set for the eighth running of the $1.25 million Charlestown Classic later today. Post time, 6:05 Eastern. If you did miss any portion of the first half of the show, our interview with Mary Epler, or our case for making this race a grade one, you can go back to our website, tune into the website and to the podcast at your leisure, horseracingradio.net. Been a fun first half of the program, JT. It's moved by relatively quickly, I must say.
Very fast, like the workers at Charlestown this morning, popping off with 34 and changes and stuff.
Yeah, and let's go ahead and set the scene here just a little bit in terms of what we're going to see with the weather. It is overcast now, gray skies. We did have some rain in the area earlier today. That rain has pretty much dissipated at this point. There is moisture on the track right now. We're not expecting a whole lot of rain throughout the rest of the afternoon, the late morning and into the afternoon. So we should have, I would think, if it doesn't rain anymore, a fast main track for the running of the Classic. Do you agree?
Yes, this track takes water very, very well, and they know how to maintain it. They have a whole dry racetrack right across the street if they need to change it out.
And, just run the Classic over there.
Yeah, that's well, across the street. I don't know if we want to do that, but no, it'll be in great shape. The track here is amazing. It rained yesterday. It was fast last night and looked really good. So, yeah, no worries. It's going to continue to get better from here. It's going to be actually sunny as we get towards the Classic, according to all the genius weathermen. We know they're lousy handicappers, but, you know, you can say that about anybody, really.
Rock-solid field of 10 set to go. They come from six different states, all the way from California, Louisiana, Florida, and, of course, right here in West Virginia as well. Don Wirth is here. He's the 3-1 morning line favorite for Doug O'Neill and J. Paul Redham and Mario Gutierrez. That is, in case you're wondering, the Nyquist team. They'll be here this afternoon, all three of them in attendance for this $1.25 million race. We're going to get a chance to see the 2014 champ Imperative go to the post. It's a race with a lot of storylines, and you're going to hear all about it beginning 4:30 Eastern here on the network and throughout the second half of this program. And nobody knows about West Virginia racing more than the West Virginia-bred Paul Espinoza, who is with us now here on the Equine Forum. He's the newest announcer here at Charlestown. And, Paul, welcome to the show, my friend.
Well, good to see you guys again. Last time we were we met, it was a little bit colder. the scene was a little bit larger at the Breeders' Cup, but nonetheless, it's great to be here with you guys. Appreciate you being here for the Charlestown Classic.
Yeah, folks will recognize that voice, as Paul was part of our broadcast team for this year's Breeders' Cup World Championships at Keeneland. Paul, first of all, congratulations on your position here. I know that this is kind of a dream come true for you.
It is. This isn't how it's supposed to happen. You're not supposed to get your first job and have it be kind of your dream job. It's one of the only tracks, obviously, where you can, you know, just stay here, not move around from circuit to circuit. Obviously, we run year-round here. It's home. I grew up literally 10 minutes from the track. I still have a grandfather who trains here, family who, you know, comes to see me just for the heck of it, just because they live in the area. So Charlestown is home, and it will be for a very long time.
Tell me about getting the call that it was official, you were going to be the announcer here at Hollywood Casino at Charlestown Races.
It was obviously a relief. At that point, I had already moved back from Lexington after a 2-year stint down there. Obviously, loved it down there. But you know, I'd already moved back, so you know, it would have been an interesting, I guess, audible to have to call if I didn't get it. But it was just kind of a relief, and at that point, I realized that I couldn't screw it up because the folks here, they took a chance. They could have gone with announcers with far more experience, but they took a chance on a local kid that I guess has a decent set of pipes and figured they'd hope for the best. So hopefully they're not regretting their decision yet.
What was it like calling your first race?
So the first race was that race out at Del Mar. The first race here. that one, well, it's funny, you know, I mentioned the Del Mar race. I actually was more nervous for that race here because I feel like at the Del Mar race, you're kind of expected to screw up. You know, the people who see the videos of the famous celebrities that get to, you know, guest call races. Well, when I was here, I knew that was going to be something that, you know, people expected me to do well. You know, there are high hopes. Folks here knew me, whereas out in California, just some kid with a country accent that's up on the mic, or where's Trevor Dimon at? So it was very nerve-wracking coming here and you know, being expected to do the job and do it well, and it was not one, obviously, that I took lightly. So I'm obviously, we can all be our own worst critics at times. So I didn't want to be, you know, just up here, you know, learning the ropes. I wanted to be, you know, in a form where I felt was respectable and would present the product in a good way. And it wasn't like that for the first couple months. There were definitely some moments where you question yourself whether or not you made a mistake, because, you know, it's tough. It's a tough thing to pick up. But now the memorization has started to, you know, become a little bit easier. And then once you can focus less on the memorization part, you can focus more on, you know, perfecting the art of the call. And it's something that, again, I'm still years and years away from, you know, obviously being great at. But I do feel much better than I did, say, 2 or 3 months ago.
You know, I mentioned that you'll be calling that first Charlestown Classic, obviously, this afternoon, your first Charlestown Classic. And that, for you being a West Virginia kid, as you just mentioned, has to be a gigantic thrill. How'd you sleep last night?
Not well, honestly. I'm not going to lie. You know, I was, in general, you know, just for my job before real estate was a sports broadcaster. And so that, obviously, you keep late hours with that. Here at Charlestown, we race at nighttime. So you kind of keep late hours with that. So just in general, I knew that today was going to be an early morning, and I didn't anticipate sleeping much. But the adrenaline, no doubt, will get me through. I've loaded up on my tea and cough drops. I feel like an old man, but I'm hopefully come race 12 today, we'll be doing all right.
I remember when I had the opportunity to fill in for Mike Battaglia one night at Turfway Park, and Jude, I've told this story on the program before, how nervous I was. My binoculars were shaking. I couldn't see the starting gate, but I was studying that field, as soon as the entries came out, I was looking at the colors, I was looking at all the horses' names, and maybe I had put too much preparation into it, which they say you can actually do, but I was studying it for days, and I was studying it constantly. How much time have you spent looking at the silks and the colors of the horses the jockeys will wear in today's Charlestown Classic?
I've spent a lot. You know, that's one of the things that I've been, I guess, kind of surprised by is that, you know, really for day in, day out racing, obviously, you know, I've gotten it down to where, you know, really 5 minutes to post time. You know, if I start, then I can feel pretty comfortable with it. Luckily, with some of these horses, obviously, you have the Ramsey silks, you have the Redham silks, you have some familiar silks, obviously. Actually, still unsure what silks Stanford will run in, whether they'll be the Stone Street or the Smith or the Tabers. But you know, that you have some familiar silks that again, you hope that – I don't think the memorization will be the issue. It'll just be kind of coming up with – you obviously have a lot of things going through your mind of things you'd like to say and just knowing when to pull those different things out for a call. So I do feel pretty confident today that the memorization should hopefully be okay, but it there definitely has been some homework done.
Yeah, what about the scripting of calls? I know some announcers really – spend a lot of time on scripting, and others just fly by the seat of their pants and it just flows out of them. I think the latter is probably the preferred, but how much do you think about what you might say?
You know, I obviously wanted to be prepared for this race in particular. On a night in, night out basis, there's not much for me yet. Again, it's just kind of describing what's out there. That's one of the other things too, is that, you know, it's starting off, you know, I've grown up listening to, I feel like, one of the best generations of race callers, whether it was Tom or obviously Trevor out in California, Larry now. And so you do want to be your own guy, even though growing up and being kind of a student, you know, a fan of the game and that side of it in particular, you hear how they do it and you're like, wow, that's how it's done. But so to not rip them off and kind of put your own style in it, you know, I try not to script it too much, but you know, there are obviously things to be looking for today. Obviously, you know, one thing that I've, you know, that you prepare for, Donworth, how's he going to settle today? Obviously he was very rank in the big cap. You know, that's just an example of some of the things. And then, you know, the storylines about, you know, maybe Imperative winning for the second time or Todd Pletcher winning for the second time, becoming only the second trainer to win two Charlestown Classics. So, you know, those are some of the things, but, you know, it's not like I have a, you know, a paragraph on each horse.
Talking with Paul Espinoza, the newest announcer here at Hollywood Casino at Charlestown Races, calling his first Charlestown Classic program this afternoon. It's not just about the Classic, because there are seven stakes races on today's card. It's a really good program. You talk about that preparation. You talk about looking at different scenarios. Can that also go the other way and maybe even work to a disadvantage for you, where if Donworth, if you're expecting him to be on the lead, let's say, and he breaks a couple steps slow, now he's in behind horses, and you had it in your head where, oh, Donworth was going to be out front. Now the whole picture changes coming out of the gate. Can that go the other way too?
It definitely can, and that's been one of the main things I've been trying to work on, and that I hope that, again, over time, I'd say that the being repetitive during a race call. So, you know, if I was to say, Donworth, further back today, not showing as much speed, and then, you know, not wanting to repeat that around the clubhouse turn as well.
Yeah.
You know, again, trying to kind of keep it fresh. And so, yes, it's that it definitely can. And so, you know, again, we'll just we'll see how it goes. Luckily, you know, after a minute 50 seconds, it'll all be over no matter what I say. So.
That's right. What we used to have a saying at the racing forum, there'll always be a chart. And, you know, when you're calling a race for the chart, sometimes things get screwed up for various and sundry reasons. But there will always be a chart. And we're going to have the Charlestown Classic today. And the race call will be great. So just enjoy yourself. And it's all going to work out.
Well, I appreciate that, and that's the plan. I do plan on enjoying it. Obviously, it's a race that you know, Larry Colmus has come in to call the Charlestown Classic, so I know that they could have had their pick of the litter of you know, big announcers to come in.
And they had to settle for Colmus.
Exactly. Oh, boy.
That has to make you feel good, that they didn't go that route and bring somebody in from the outside, right?
It absolutely does, yeah. And again, you know, it's one of those things where I can, you know, I certainly, growing up a fan of the track, again, I was here 20 years ago when this place was almost shut down. I mean, to think that we are going to be hosting a $1.25 million horse race here after the, you know, the track that I grew up seeing in my, you know, very young years. I was 6 years old then, but again, you remember seeing the headlines in the papers and seeing just how dire the situation was at Charlestown, and then to kind of see how we've risen from the ashes thanks to Penn Gaming. You know, I'm a fan first, and so, you know, I want the product that we're putting out here to be on display. And if that means getting Larry Colmus to come in and give, you know, 7 awesome calls, then again, I would have been all for it, but for them to stick with me, certainly, it's a lot of pressure, but it's also it's a very nice feeling.
When you first got the call that you were going to have this job, you talked about what that moment was like for you, but were there any other announcers, Larry or anybody else, that maybe called you, texted you and said, "Hey, congratulations. Here's a little advice." Did anybody give you that kind of advice?
I've been very fortunate, and again, an embarrassment of riches. Luckily, Eric Zimney, he's good friends with Larry Colmus, so because of that, I've gotten to know Larry a little bit, and I'd say that we're on a texting relationship. I actually got a tweet from him this morning wishing me luck as well. So being able to lean on him. Travis Stone was one of the judges out at the Del Mar contest, and he's another guy that's come here, and he called the Breeders' Classics last year in October. So, you know, those two guys, I feel like, again, are two of the absolute best, if not the two best going right now in terms of announcers. And so just being able to bounce ideas off of them, I will say I haven't, because I don't feel like I had, you know, have been that great starting off. You know, I haven't really wanted to be like, "Hey, guys, what did you think?" Because I kind of know what the answer was going to be. So now that things are getting to be, I feel like to a little bit more of a serviceable level, I definitely plan on leaning on those guys to be able to, you know, learn more of the tricks of the trade and just, you know, things that I can do to get better, because I don't just want to be a good announcer. I do want to be one of the best.
Kurt Becker didn't text you?
Kurt, unfortunately, I don't know if I've ever actually met Kurt face-to-face. Yeah. Again, I know that we've...
Well, he's kind of a jerk like that.
Well, I mean, hearing from you guys, again, that's kind of what I was kind of basing it off of. So, again, 2 years...
Kurt's wonderful, by the way. Our colleague here on the network, and does a phenomenal job, and great caller at Keeneland, too.
Yeah, he... You know, we always talk about the Breeders' Cup last year when we lost Larry's call and Kurt picking up his binoculars.
Unbelievable. One of the greatest moments.
Yeah. Was it the Breeders' Cup or was it Derby?
It was Derby. We threw it to Larry for the call. I didn't realize that we weren't getting the audio for that call from Larry, right? Because he wasn't calling the race. He was taking that race off before the NBC shows. And there was no audio. Dead air. And they came out, and Kurt picked up his binoculars. I started kind of describing the action, not really calling the race, describing what was going on. And he didn't miss a beat. He picked up the binoculars, hadn't looked at a horse, a silk, nothing, and didn't miss a beat. And it was a phenomenal call. Humana Distaff.
Yeah. Thank God it was like a 7-horse field or something. We don't want to give him too much credit. But I'll tell you, for me, it was one of the most amazing things I'd ever seen.
You were choked up.
I was.
It was beautiful.
It was phenomenal. It really was beautiful.
Yeah. It's a job that you definitely gain a lot of appreciation for after you've done it, and you know, done it a number of times, because there are a lot of things that go into it, and certainly Kurt is right there with the best going right now. And growing up here in West Virginia, shocker, NASCAR fan, and so, you know, got to even hear Kurt back then, and then to be like, "Oh, hey, it's a familiar voice at Keeneland." That was that's pretty cool too. So,
well, Paul, all the best here today. Congratulations on the new position, and go get it done for the Charlestown Classic. Before we let you go, though, what is it with you Charlestown guys? Is it a prerequisite that you have to do like the brawny paper towel guy beard or something when you work here? You and Zimney are both sporting the same look.
Well, this is the first time in my life I've ever gone with a beard. Again, a lot of on camera gigs before that probably wouldn't have been too kind to that. Real estate, you know, I guess I probably could have gotten away with it down in Kentucky, but actually this has kind of grown on a suggestion by somebody else, and I was like, well, we'll give it a try. You see the beard versus non-beard pics with guys, you're like, you know, sometimes the beard does look all right. So
I'll tell you, it's excruciatingly good looking on you, I have to say.
Oh, boy. Yeah. There's no comparison. JT has a little bit of a beard, too.
I've had a beard for a long, long time, and I tell you, it's the best thing I ever did, because it covers my face. But you know, handsome guy to begin with. You got gals chasing them all over the place, but the beard is really It really looks good. I like it.
You can tell me where I can find those gals. Let me know before you leave Charlestown, please.
Paul, we appreciate it, my friend. Go get it done today, huh?
Sounds good. I appreciate it, guys, right. And appreciate you being here.
All right, Paul Espinoza here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. It is time now for your Blood Horse News Update, and as always, a look at the top headlines from BloodHorse.com. Well, Nyquist, smooth in Keeneland Breeze. Kentucky Derby favorite Nyquist wanted to go early, but quickly settled into a smooth stride in his second-to-last Breeze April 23rd at Keeneland before the May 7th Louisville Classic. Working in company with Grade 1 winner Rallis, Redham Racing's Nyquist completed the 5 furlongs in 101 and 4/5 second Saturday morning on the Keeneland main track. The champion son of Uncle Mo registered splits of 12 flat, 23 and 4/5, and 35 and 4/5 under regular exercise rider Johnny Garcia. Nyquist did very little in terms of a run out and was credited with 118 for his final time. And that is, as always, your Blood Horse News Update for this morning. For more industry news and headlines, head over to BloodHorse.com and don't forget to check out Blood Horse Daily as well. You can do all that at BloodHorse.com. Pete Rotundo from Breeders' Cup comes up next on a busy morning on the Equine Forum right here on the Horse Racing Radio Network.
Justin Phillip, a blue blood sprinter whose first crop had been highly acclaimed at the sales by the exciting young sire First Samurai and a half-brother to three other graded stakes winners, including Algorithms and Grade 1 winning Kentucky Derby prospect Greenpoint Crusader. Justin Phillip made 32 lifetime starts, 23 in graded stakes, with 9 buyer speed figures of 100 or better.
And Justin Phillip will do it! He was a monster in the mud!
And Justin Phillip will prove best in the Cal Fleet Sprint.
But it will be Justin Phillip to win the Vanderbilt by 2.
With first crop foals bringing up to $110,000 at the 2015 fall sales, Justin Phillip had a weanling sales average of more than $50,000, and he stands for a value price stud fee of only $5,000. Justin Phillip at Castleton Lions. Are you a believer? Visit CastletonLions.com.
And they're off in New York. The premier stakebred program in the United States. When you own a New York bred, your horse can run for more than $44 million in purses restricted to registered New York breds. And the New York program pays awards to breeders, owners, and stallion owners when their New York breds finish first, second, or third at New York tracks. We have the quality.
Day at the spa, all the way.
You have the opportunity. New York breds, get with the program. The best program.
Lexington's premier printing company is Copy Express. Located at 1255 Eastland Drive, Copy Express offers fast, friendly service for all your printing needs, including high-quality offset printing, digital printing with speedy job delivery, graphic design and pre-press services, plus soft-touch coating, UV coating, binding, and more. Bring your print projects to life with Copy Express. Quality offset printing and digital printing since 1980.
Claiborne Farm presents Algorithms. The son of Bernardini was undefeated, including a dominant 5-length victory over champion Hansen in the Holy Bull. Full or half-brother to 4 graded stakes winners, Algorithms has the pedigree, the speed, and the class to become the next star in this sensational sire line. His first crop 2-year-olds have posted lightning-fast breeze times and sales up to $180,000. Algorithms at Claiborne Farm.
Since 1940, the National HBPA has provided thoroughbred horsemen with a unified voice, representing their interests and needs before state and federal governments and improving business conditions for thoroughbred horsemen and their employees. With a seat on the board of major industry organizations, the National HBPA continues to support more than 30,000 individual owners, trainers, breeders, and backstretch personnel throughout the United States and Canada. Contact CEO Eric Hamelback to let your voice be heard and support the National HBPA by visiting hbpa.org.
This is Tom Leach for Kentucky Bank's Wealth Management Department. Investing in today's world requires advice that is timely and responsive to your investment needs and objectives. At Kentucky Bank, we strive to provide you with our full range of investment services with the highest degree of service and to deliver it in a personalized and effective fashion. For a no-obligation review, call Clark Nyberg at 859-988-1318. That's Clark Nyberg, 859-988-1318. Call Kentucky Bank and call it home. I do.
Learn the business of horses in the world's only accredited equine business program, the University of Louisville Equine Business Program. The University of Louisville has a legacy of excellence for more than 25 years of equine business education. Classes are taught by industry experts in state-of-the-art facilities located in the heartland of America's equine industry. The University of Louisville Equine Business Program. When it comes to horses, we mean business. For more information, visit business.louisville.edu/equine.
Ramsey Farms, Kitten's Joy.
Stephanie's Kitten and Erod Ortiz Jr. for America in the Breeders' Cup Filly and Mare Turf.
A champion sire and producer of three Grade 1 winners in 2015.
Chiropractor March on Chiropractor in a driving finish here over March.
With more than $11 million in progeny earnings this year.
Big Blue Kitten won the Joe Hirsch Turf Classic.
Kitten's Joy, standing at Ramsey Farm. Visit RamseyFarm.com.
Hi, this is Chantel Sutherland Cruz, and you are listening to the Horse Racing Radio Network.
This is the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network.
And they're into the stretch, and it's game on Toad. Clubhouse ride to the outside, and Ron the Greek is third. A final 16th for game on Dude. He's reaching for the wire. Ron the Greek's coming up the fence. Clubhouse rides on the outside, but game on Dude has won the Charlestown Classic over Clubhouse ride and Ron the Greek. Percussion finished fourth, and a final time of 1 minute 52.27 seconds. Game on Dude has won the Charlestown Classic.
Larry Colmus with the call of the 2013 Charlestown Classic, and Game on Dude getting the victory that afternoon. Of course, it was 1 year later when he would be upset by 26-1 long shot Imperative. Imperative is back this afternoon for the eighth running of the Charlestown Classic. He takes his third consecutive crack at winning this race, of course, coming off of the win in 2014 and then a runner-up finish behind Moreno last year. We'll see if Imperative can get back to the winner's circle later today. But the reason, Jude, that I wanted to play that Game on Dude clip from 2013 is because, how about this? We talked about this race potentially being Grade 1 caliber, and I think there's no doubt that it is. But three of the last four Breeders' Cup Classic favorites have started in the Charlestown Classic the following year. Think about that. That's another powerful stat.
Yeah, lots of power in this race. And this is a very important race in the United States, and it definitely should be a Grade 1. I also think it should be a win and you're in for the Breeders' Cup, by the
well,
way.
Well, you know, who we could talk to about that?
Our next guest.
Do you know anybody? Maybe Pete Rotundo from the Breeders' Cup?
It's quite possible you might have an in there.
How hot is that seat getting, by the way, Pete?
I'm feeling it. I'm sweating.
Feel the burn.
Exactly. Get hot, stay hot.
That's yeah, right.
That's the hashtag he's always using on Twitter.
Yes.
How you doing, my friend?
I'm good. I'm happy to be here. I missed last year, but I came 2 years ago. And it's such a great place. They treat you so nice. And I love just, like, the atmosphere, and you could totally chill out here, and the card is excellent.
Yeah.
A lot of action.
Yeah, 13 races, 7 stakes races. You have a $100,000 guaranteed pick four, which is races 9 through 12. It will end with that 12th race, the Charlestown Classic. And in terms of the Classic, let's talk about that race for a minute. You have 10 horses coming from 6 different states, as far away as California, and that's kind of become the norm with this race. But this field doesn't have to take a back seat to many, Pete.
No, you're right. I mean, the California horses shipping in, you have the winner of the Louisiana Derby last year. The field is stacked from top to bottom. And, you know, even Hard Aces won the Gold Cup at San Antonio, ran in the Breeders' Cup Classic last year. The field's tremendous. I look at it from a pace scenario. That's where I'm trying to figure out how fast are they going to go early to try to set up the closers.
Is there a lot of speed in this year's race?
Well, the one horse, Sonny Inspire, is a 6 furlong sprinter. I'm not sure what he's doing in there. So he's got it. You figure he's got to go to the lead. He's got the rail. You figure he guns Stanford and Donworth. They're on record as saying he's going to let him roll. So I could see them flying in the middle of the race. I see some middle moves happening and, you know, really putting up some fast fractions, especially with a little moisture in the track. This could be really fast, hot pace early.
Yeah, the track's been fast so far this morning. And, of course, we don't know what will happen after training and how they handle it, but it handles water great as a rule. So it should be a fast track by this afternoon for sure.
Sure, yeah. So I just see a fast, super fast pace coming. And just somebody else working out a trip. I think I got the horse. Want to hear it?
I do, yeah. We're not going to make people wait. We want to let them know who's going to win the Charlestown. And then we'll walk through the other three races, by the way. I want to walk through the entire pick four with you because I know you've handicapped it.
Yeah, did the work for a change. Yeah. So. Paige McKenney, I think, is in the best shape of his life, right? 5 of his last 6. And some of the other horses, you have to go, oh, maybe, you know, had a bad trip last time. Remember last year how he did? Remember this? This one's in shape. You don't have to guess. You're going to run his race. She's as consistent as could be. Has a race last year over the track. I think he's going to sit like mid-pack, make the move before the deep closers. I just don't see the speed holding on. I think they're just going to go too fast. I know it's conducive to speed based on the turns and the whole thing. But I think this horse is going to sit up absolute perfect trip and get the jump on them coming for home. So I look at Paige McKenney. To me, I jumps off the page here. So I'm gonna go all in where, you know, I guess a lot of people might say you want to spread here. I'm gonna try to single him.
Single in the pick four.
Yeah.
Wow. He sounds a lot like Mary Epler.
Yeah.
Kind of what the trainer told us this morning.
Well, we go way back, Mary and I.
Yeah. Well, you certainly were more verbose in your description of the race, but it's the same idea that you both had and that he would get first run on the closers. And he's such a nice horse.
Oh, it's awesome.
I would love to see him win.
Yeah. Exactly.
You know, she also mentioned the fact that last year Horacio Caramanos, who is going to be aboard Paige McKenney today, was making his first start here at Charlestown. So now he has some experience over this particular surface and this unique type of design. That has to be an advantage too, right?
Oh, totally. I mean, and again, I love when, you know, you look at the past performances and you see the jockey's been on them every single time, right? I mean, you know, this they're tied, they're together, right? And the idea you just said that he's got a race over the track last year, the jockey and the horse, only makes it better. The only other horse I'm going to use underneath, because I think Hard Aces will hit the board, so the way from a betting standpoint, basically going to go Page, Hard Aces, all Page, all Hard Aces. You know, just he'll run. He's a grinder, I think, because I think it's going to be a hot pace. I think he'll get a piece. I'm just not sure which slot, so I'm just going to hope for the best.
What about Imperative?
There's nothing wrong. He loves the track. He's won the race before. You know, you can't knock him, obviously. I think he'll be running late. There's no fault to him. I just, you know, sometimes coming off that 1.25 back to the 1.8, and this, it's not like the perfect setup. You know, obviously Mikey's the best, though. He'll be here, and he'll be running late as well, but yeah, I mean, I can't. I mean, he should hit the board. There's no doubt. He likes the track. I mean, he loves these turns.
He might be overbet because he likes the track.
Exactly. Yeah, and I think he'll. I think Stanford, again, Todd Pletcher and Javi, they're going to be way overbet. And the horse, 1.8, doesn't.
What have they ever done?
Those guys.
I know. Yeah, I know. Right. I was just saying the horse, but the horse has never won in 1.8. And I just something about him. I just see this because again, if I'm wrong with the pace, then he should we'll wire him. But I think it's going to be so hot that I think he'll get tired late.
All right, so Pete Rotundo going to turn this $100,000 guaranteed pick four into a pick three virtually with that single of Paige McKenney in the last race, the Charlestown Classic. Now, it kicks off in race number 9 with a post time of 4:20 Eastern. And what better way to kick off a pick four than with a race, a stakes race by the name of the Confucius Say Stakes?
That's right. Oh, it's awesome. And I notice it's a... the winner gets an automatic bid into the West Virginia Onion Juice Breeders Classic.
How can you pass that up?
It's a win. You're in for the onion juice.
I love that. Onion juice.
Outstanding. So $50,000, 7 furlongs, and it features two of the top local horses on the grounds, Lucy's Bob Boy and Russell Road. Great showdown.
Oh, it's tremendous. And that's, you know, I was going over the race with Paul yesterday, and again, so from a betting standpoint, Russell Road, right? probably the coolest horse you've ever seen. 10 years old. He's won 25 times here. He's coming off his layoff that he did last year. He did the same thing when October. The Breeders' Classic took a layoff and then ran in the Confucius Say, won for fun, beat Lucy's Bob Boy easily. And now he's trying to do the same exact thing. He's been working unbelievably fast. But from a betting point of view, you know, everything you've ever been told in life, a 10-year-old off a layoff like that, I'm going to use him in the pick. I'm going to obviously use him, but to just go all in, I know he's cool and I know it's whatever, but he's still 10. So I'm going to use him for sure in the pick four. I'm going to also use Lucy's Bob Boy. And I think he's, you know, the trainer's having a rough year, but I think you got it. Again, out of respect, I'm going to spread early, right? So I'm going to use Lucy. I'm going to use Russell Road. The horse I like is Come On, Let's Play. So if Lucy's a little off form and Russell Road is not 100%, I think you're going to get a big price on this Come On, Let's Play. It's second race. He ran 2 weeks ago to get a little, you know, race over the track. Could go to the lead, could sit second. The horse loves Charlestown, 16 out of 24 in first or second. And I think the price will be right. The trainer's 24% off, second off a layoff. So I'm going to use him. I'm also going to go with Prince of Windsor in there. And basically go five deep. Also use In the Fairway. The horse I'm going to go against is Partly Mocha. Again, you know, going to be overbet with Mike Maker and Javi coming in. 0 for at Charlestown. 0 for the dirt. His numbers, obviously, when he was younger, was not very good. He's a grass horse. And he's a closer. So I just don't see how he fits. And you know everyone's going to pound him.
Yep. Yep. All right.
So I'm going to go five deep there and try to beat Partly Mocha.
All right. Going deep in the first one, Confucius Say. Right. Race number 10, the second leg of the pick four, is the Robert Hilton Memorial. Also the first race you'll hear live with us this afternoon on our exclusive coverage beginning 4:30 Eastern. This one, a seven-horse field, sprinting seven furlongs. It's all about Tom Amos in terms of the history of this race. He's seeking his fourth consecutive victory, and he sends out Quixote in post position number three.
Exactly, yeah. I think it's a match race. I think it's Quixote and Dig Deep. I think they're both going to go out there, and one of them's going to get home. I like Quixote a little better. I think he's probably the more of the sprinter of the group. I think Dig Deep's such a nice horse. I mean, he's been getting better with every race. I think maybe you get a little better price on Quixote. Amos obviously knows how to win here. But I think it's one of those. I mean, in a theory, you know, if they hooked up or something, maybe the virtual machine or I Came to Party could suck up a piece. But I don't see how in the pick four, bottom line is you go too deep and I think you're covered. Quixote and Dig Deep.
Handicapping the $100,000 guaranteed pick four with Pete Rotundo from the Breeders' Cup here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. All right, race number 11, the race preceding the Charlestown Classic, third leg of the pick four, the Sugar Maple, seven furlongs, field of nine.
Yeah, again, so here I'm looking at, you know, you look at Sweet on Smokey, ran lifetime best last time on the wet, won for fun. Making Havoc, lifetime best off a layoff at Aqueduct. I could see both of them regressing a little bit, right? And I think the Athena, Javi, you know, he didn't ship here to not win a race. So
he has to win one.
Right, exactly. So Javi, I think, going to get the perfect trip with Athena. Sit behind some of the speed in here. And, you know, she's won three in a row. She's doing really well. I watched some of her replays. I think the numbers fit. Obviously, if Making Havoc or Sweet on Smokey run back to their last race, they'll be really tough. But this isn't an ideal spot for them, I don't think. So, again, I'm going to take a shot and single Athena. So, ultimately, I'm going five deep by two, single, and just pound it.
Crush it like a McGee.
Yeah. By the way, our friend Larry Colmus
just
sent me a text, and he said, do not make fun of onion juice. He was a Charlestown legend, just so you know.
Well, I just like the word onion juice. It's like those, I just like those words together.
I wouldn't mind a little onion juice. Try that. Maybe. I like onions. You think I'd like onion juice?
I don't think it would be
pickle
the
juice
most tremendous thing you could
pickles.
Drink.
But I know pickle juice is good for you, though.
Yeah, but I don't like pickles. I like onions.
I wish they had one of those $5,000 claimer to the Robert Hilton Memorial double, like they have the Oaks Derby double.
Yeah.
Because we could have taken the big winner from last night, Bad Boy Pete, and had a double alive.
Oh, yeah.
I Came to Party. And that was like the Swami angle of the entire Charlestown Classic Day.
Did you burn the roof of your mouth on that French onion soup last night, Pete?
Oh, no. It was nice. Why?
Really? Why? I don't know. I'm still,
you got some onion juice
I'm
in there?
Feeling good. Right? Maybe so.
That actually is onion juice, right?
Yeah. Very quickly, my friend, I want to thank you and everybody at the Breeders' Cup. We've enjoyed a great partnership with Breeders' Cup here on the network since 2007. Looking forward to coming out to Santa Anita again this year and Del Mar the following year. It's going to be a lot of fun. We're back with our Road to the Breeders' Cup series, which is presented by Breeders' Cup. It is our coverage of all of the Breeders' Cup winning your in races here on the network. You can hear it nationwide on SiriusXM and on our affiliates across the country and, of course, streaming on our website. And that kicks off Belmont Stakes Day with the Belmont Undercard. The first challenge races we'll bring your way, and it's going to be a very busy year for us, and we can't thank you and Breeders' Cup enough, Pete.
No,
so
you guys
much.
Are great. I know we appreciate all the support and the effort. Yeah, Belmont Day, we'll have the Met Mile and the Ogden Phipps kicks off the domestic challenge series, and then we're on the road all summer and fall. Not a bad gig, but
no.
A lot of action.
Nobody's crying for us being in Saratoga, going to the Arlington Million.
Exactly.
Yeah, no, it's a great time of year, and Derby time's great, but the races leading up to the Breeders' Cup are just phenomenal.
Yeah, we're excited
before we know it.
Oh, I know. I mean, you think about these California horses, right? You got Beholder, living at Santa Anita, Nyquist. California Chrome. It could be. The Breeders' Cup this year could be epic in like so many different divisions, you know. We're really excited. And, of course, with Nyquist being our Sentient Jet juvenile champ, undefeated, going to the Derby, we're rooting for him.
It's really cool, too, that these horses are sticking around. Because for a long time we were losing them, like, at the end of their three-year-old season or whatever. But, you know, it's been just so gratifying to see them continue to race and for people to enjoy them. It's really been something special, I think.
Oh, I agree. I know. It's us. I mean, behold, it's just the idea that they're still running, and you look back in the PPs and you see, like, who they've run against, and it's awesome. So we're excited about it. We just, as you know, we just got to get... We just got to keep our fingers crossed and hope for the best.
Well, let us know if there's anything we can do between now and then. We'll be doing a lot in terms of covering the races, but anything you need from us, the door's open, my friend.
All right. Thanks for having me.
Hey, by the way, the great thing about Pete Rotundo, he always comes with an entourage. And today he brings the girls from Grand Slam Social with him, Shona and Molly. He brings his own camera crew. Hey, pretty cool.
Yeah, well, they're great. They're obviously working for Eric and team here promoting the Charlestown Classic. Taking it to the next level on social media.
Speaking of Eric Zimny, he's up next, right here on the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network, your home for the 2016 Kentucky Derby and the Triple Crown.
Jimmy John's World's Greatest Gourmet Sandwich is Ed speaking.
Yes, I need a sandwich delivery right away.
What kind of sandwich?
I don't care. Just get it to 215 Elm Street right now.
I'm on my way!
Jimmy John's.
Thanks for getting here so fast.
You're welcome, sir. Here's your sandwich. By the way, did you know your house is on fire?
That's why I called Jimmy John's.
Fire makes you hungry?
No, I knew you'd get here fast. Grab a bucket.
We're going to need more than two guys, sir.
You're right. What'll we do?
Leave it to me, sir.
Hello?
Hello, boss? Send everyone you got to 215 Elm.
Okay.
Doesn't matter what kind of sandwich, sir. I'll explain later.
Okay.
Thank you, sir.
Jimmy John's.
Come in. Sir, did you know your house is on fire?
Yes, I did. Grab a bucket.
Jimmy John's.
Come in.
Sir, did you know your house is on fire?
Yes, I did. Grab a bucket.
Jimmy John's.
Come in.
Sir, did you know?
Yes, I did. Grab a bucket.
Jimmy John's.
Come in.
Sir, did you...
Yes, I did. Grab a bucket.
Fire department.
Come in.
Sir, did you know your...
It's okay, Captain. We got it handled. Care for a sandwich?
Thanks, but tell me something.
Shoot.
Why didn't you call the fire department first?
I did.
Jimmy John's. Exceptional delivery. Order online at jimmyjohns.com.
Lexus. Once driven, there's no going back. Through inspired design, relentless innovation, and uninhibited performance, Lexus continues their pursuit to perfection with not only precisely engineered automobiles, but powerful, profound, and passionate experiences that move you like never before. Hey everyone, Mike Penna here, and extremely proud to say that I am a Lexus owner, or better yet, a member of the Lexus family at the Lexus store of Lexington. I've told you for more than a decade that the people make the difference at the Lexus store, and that is why I am so proud to be their customer and a member of their family. If you're in the horse business, there's no reason to look anywhere else. As the sponsor of the Grade 2 Lexus Raven Run at Keeneland every fall, the team at the Lexus store of Lexington is committed to supporting the horse industry and to being the dealership of the equine industry here in Central Kentucky. See for yourself. Stop in and talk horse racing with the godfather, Tony Attiano, and all the great folks at the Lexus store of Lexington. And I promise you will love your Lexus experience.
Grade One millionaire Cowboy Cow is leading the third crop sire by two-year-old winners with a dozen juvenile winners already this year. His runners have earned nearly $2 million, and his sires a greater percentage of winners than nearly any other stallion in his crop, including Pioneer of the Nile. Cowboy Cow, a grand-looking son of Giants Causeway, standing at Pen Oak Stud.
Kirkwood Stables has a long and storied history of producing and selling winners at the highest level.
Alphabet Soup has scored a shocking upset.
And Memories of Silver draws clear.
Soaring softly, the queen of the American green.
Flying pretty holds on to the Oaks.
It is Winter Memories, victorious again.
Visit this year's Kirkwood consignments at the upcoming OBS March and April sales. Kirkwood Stables, proven success. Learn more at kirkwoodstables.com.
Join us at Hollywood Casino at Charlestown Races on Saturday, April 23rd for a great day of racing, including 13 races highlighted by the $1.25 million Grade II Charlestown Classic. The night also features six other stakes races and a $100,000 guaranteed all-stakes pick four. Post time is 12:45 Eastern with the Charlestown Classic scheduled for 6:05. If you're interested in seeing some of the best horses in the world battle it out, mark your calendars for Saturday, April 23rd and the $1.25 million Charlestown Classic at Hollywood Casino at Charlestown Races.
This is the Horse Racing Radio Network, your home for racing's biggest events. You're listening to the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network. This freaky fast performance is brought to you by your Lexington, Kentucky area Jimmy Johns.
They're at the top of the lane now. Big Casanova being swamped from all sides. Catch a Flight, Whitecap at the rail. Merino's under pressure. Opportunity on the outside, and Hard Aces down at the rail is finishing gamely. Then Finnegan's Wake. They come for home, and it's Hard Aces coming grittily down on the inside. And Hard Aces strikes the front. Opportunity on the outside. Catch a Flight is back to third. It's Hard Aces as they run to the wire in a thriller. Very close. Hard Aces, Opportunity, Catch a Flight was third, then Finnegan's Wake. Behind that came Ladaris, Big Casanova and Majestic City, Merino behind them, then Poshke, Motown Men, and Batty Man was last.
Baron and Pontiff back with you on the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network, live from Hollywood Casino at Charlestown Races, positioned just above the finish line where history will once again be made later this afternoon. The eighth running of the $1.25 million Grade II Charlestown Classic. You're going to hear it exclusively with us here on the network beginning at 4:30 Eastern Time. Make sure you tune in worldwide on our website, horseracingradio.net, and on affiliates across the country. You can learn more by going to horseracingradio.net. Busy show, JT.
Yeah, it's been busy. It's been fun. It's been entertaining, at least for me.
You know what was entertaining was that call of the Big Cap. And, of course, our friend Trevor Denman doing the honors back in 2015. I should say the Gold Cup. That was Hard Aces victory in the Gold Cup that you heard coming out of that commercial break. Hard Aces, one of three California invaders in this afternoon's Charlestown Classic, a field of 10, which features top handicap horses from six different states this afternoon. And nobody happier about that than our good friend Eric Zimney, the vice president of racing operations here at Charlestown. And Eric, first of all, welcome to the show and congratulations on a great race.
Thank you. Appreciate it. Now, thanks for coming back. I guess this is, what, 4 years now you guys have been here?
Four consecutive, yeah.
That's great. That's great. Hopefully you, performance five. You know, next week.
We're going to do our best.
That's the hope. Now, you guys have been great. And, we're thrilled with the field this year. Three horses from California. This race always seems to draw them from all corners, and we did that again. And I always love the interesting cross-section of horses we get for this thing.
How do you start hustling? What time of year do you really go in earnest?
January is when we start. Florida and California, really the two big ones that we hit. Regionally, we hope the guys in New York at this point know about the race, but California has been the bread and butter for this race. I still can't really figure it out. Maybe it's just the timing with the Big Cap that works well. I know they run it, you know, they're used to running at Fairplex. They might be just more used to running it at six furlong tracks than they are here back east. But I don't know, as a California, you know, former trainer, I'd love to get your take on it too. I haven't been able to figure it out.
Well, I think the Pomona factor, Fairplex, if you will, had something to do with it. Also, I think you were happy to get Baffert here. When Baffert does something, everybody in California pays attention. And I always call it the Baffert factor. Like when he came in and started working his horses faster, all the trainers in California started picking up their training because the clients say to you, you know, oh, you just worked my horse 3/4 in 114, and now I'm running against a horse of Baffert's that just worked in 12. So he changed kind of the face of training and racing in California. So now you have him come into this race on a regular basis, and although he doesn't have one in this year, but it wouldn't keep him from sending one if he had one for the race. And I think that was a big help. But I think when you put up $1.2 million, people are going to come regardless of where they're from if they have a horse that fits. And I'm sure there's some people that may be concerned about the bull ring thing. But, you know, this track is so beautiful, so safe, so nice. And the barn area is spectacular. There's so many things to like about racing here. And most horses are very adaptable to, a bull ring. They might need a little bit of practice, but we just got back from the Sandy Lane Gold Cup, as we were telling you, and that's a 6-furlong track grass. They run right-handed, and the horses came from the United States and ran very well. The winner was claimed at Gulfstream Park. Mr. Ramsey sent two. He finished second in the race. I mean, horses don't have a problem making the turns.
Yeah, plus, oh, look, every track has its quirk. Every single one does. I mean, some horses might not like the big sweeping turns at Belmont. It just happens to be this track's quirk that it's a 6-furlong track. The turns aren't a whole lot tighter than you'll find at a normal turf course.
Right.
Like we were talking about. And, I think it also helped that a lot of the better horses out in California in that division recently, you know, Game on Dude, Shared Belief, Moreno Base out there, we're all geldings, which does help us a little bit too. Melatonin, obviously a gelding as well. So hopefully he'll reconsider coming here instead of Arkansas in 2017. It'd be nice. But I don't think that's hurt us.
Yeah. Well, I think the other thing too, you know, this track is a super safe track, and that is a major factor for a lot of people. You know, they can have confidence when they come here that everything's going to be perfect. And your crew here does such a great job maintaining the surface. We had rain yesterday afternoon. The track was fast for the evening racing. I assume it's going to be the same today. It drained so well. It's nice to train over. The horse has been skipping over it this morning. And so I think that's a big, big factor for a lot of people when they ship.
And I'll go one step further. Guys like Bob Baffert and Doug O'Neill and Todd Pletcher aren't bringing their horses here if there's any doubt that the racetrack is 110% safe. And I mean, let's get that out of the way right now. You attract the biggest names in the sport, both on the training side, the owner side, and the jockey side of things, Eric, and that's, you know, a big feather in your cap.
No, I appreciate that, Mike, and that's a big deal for our fans too, because they're not used to seeing Javier, Mike Smith, Doug O'Neill's en route. He'll be here today. Just not used to seeing those names, those personalities that they're going to see on NBC in a couple weeks. They just aren't used to that. And to be able to get up close and kind of personal with them at this track, because it's you're just so much closer to the action than you are at other ones, it's neat to see their reactions.
We were talking about Joe Torre a couple years ago and how he stood in the winner's circle for at least a half hour, maybe longer, after the race and signed autographs, let kids wear his World Series ring and stuff. He couldn't have been more gracious. And, I mean, what a great opportunity for some of the people around here to meet a Hall of Fame ball player, somebody that's in the national eye all the time now with his role with the MLB. And, you know, it's great. I mean, I really love the fact that people have embraced it, and you guys have done such a great job of getting the horses here. I mean, it's amazing. And
what do you do from here? What other things would you like to accomplish with the Charlestown Classic, or what would you like to see it evolve into if there is anything higher?
Look, we'd love for it to be a grade one at some point, of course. I don't think you ever, offer up a 7-figure purse hoping to be a grade three or anything like that. We're not a grade three we're great too, of course. But get that. Hopefully, Paul gets that right this year, unlike last year.
No pressure, Paul.
Yeah, no, no. Very low bar though with that one. Yeah, we're set there. So I mean, that would be a big goal for sure.
Well, we made a pretty strong case in the first half of the program why this race should be a grade one. And if anybody with the Graded States Committee was listening, they would be foolish not to consider this race for grade one status next year, because the history of this race and the other thing that they base it on is the horses and what they do after they leave a particular race. And the horses that have run in this race have gone on to win big races later in the year as well. And it's been like that for several years now. So there's no reason for it not to be under consideration and serious consideration for a grade one in 2017.
Yeah, I mean, look, Acclamation ran last year and then went on to win three or four grade ones, including the Pacific Classic, and was named the older male champion that year. So when you got a horse who runs last in your race winning the Eclipse Award, it speaks a little bit to the depth of the race, I think.
Well, we also put Pete Rotundo on the hot seat and suggested this might be a win and you're in for the Breeders' Cup Classic. So that's another thing that I think would definitely help entries here, and it would help legitimize the race for sure.
Yeah, no, like I said, even without, I don't want to make it seem like we're not grateful or thankful for what we've accomplished with the race so far, because it's gotten to a level that we're incredibly happy with. You always just try to strive for bigger and better along the way, but no, we're still thrilled about the race this year too.
Well, when you think of what Charlestown used to be and what it is now, I mean, it's like night and day. And Paul Espinosa brought that up when we were talking to him earlier today. You know, the track was almost gone, and you guys have done such a great job, and now you have this race, which moves it into a whole different dimension. And I think that's the most important thing, is the people here, the people that love this racetrack and live around here and have come to race here all this time. Now they're really getting to see a great product, and that's a feather in your cap.
I appreciate that. And I think something that we knew we had to do several years ago and when we started this race was this track was in no way, shape, or form integrated until the national racing picture. There was nothing. I mean, it was like an isolated entity. It was like nothing came in or out of this place at all. And that was, closed economies don't do very well for a reason. And, we knew we had to kind of get out there and do something to, like I said, integrate us into the national racing landscape. So to have this race 2 weeks for the Derby, too, good timing.
Yeah, never easy to build a race into a grade two the way that they've done here, basically from scratch at Charlestown. But to do it in a venue such as this, and what I mean is the state of West Virginia, where racing isn't prevalent. It's not like Kentucky. It's not like Florida. It's not like doing it in California. It's a much different dynamic here in West Virginia. Really is incredible to see the progress that they've made. And speaking of West Virginia, we have a couple of the top West Virginia bred squaring off on the undercard here today. We talked with Pete Rotundo about that in the previous segment. But Eric, this is a card that features 13 races and 7 stakes, plus that $100,000 guaranteed late pick four. The whole card is just rock solid.
Yeah, it's more than just the one race. I mean, the pick four sequence, I was taking a look at it last night. I mean, that's a tough sequence to come up with a ticket that's small if you're going to play one. Lucy's Bob Boy and Russell Road in that one race, it's such a cool story. I mean, I think they had 50 wins between them on the track and almost $3 million in earnings. It'd be interesting to see how Russell Road comes back here at age 10. I'm interested to see. By all accounts, he's been training great.
Yeah, you see those 59 and change works at Charlestown. That caught my eye for sure.
Yeah.
But it's not just the racing here. The whole facility's awesome. Your casino is beautiful. It was packed last night.
It's going to be packed tonight with Sinbad in the house.
Yeah, it's amazing. It's just a fantastic place.
By the way, only a minute or so. We have to let you go here in just a minute, Eric, so I want to get this in before we do. But what the heck are you going to do for the hockey game this afternoon?
Man.
Big Pittsburgh Penguin fan. They have to square off with New York, but it's at 3 o'clock.
Gary Bettman is on my bad list right now for scheduling this game at 3 o'clock. Yeah, it's like, I mean, I'm hoping, well, I don't want it to go into 3 or 4 overtimes, but that's like maybe the hope. That,
so you can catch a little
bit. Yeah, so I can catch it at like 7:30 or something like that.
And you have your playoff beard. You're sporting the playoff beard.
I do. I'm worried if we win maybe 2 rounds, like what I'll look like in Louisville and Baltimore. I look like a homeless person or something at the track. So in an odd way, I kind of, maybe if they lose, it's not the worst thing, my appearance.
Well, hey, well, thank you for everything you've done for us. We're happy to be here again. It's been a great partnership, and we can't wait to bring that coverage to our listeners, 4:30 Eastern this afternoon. Thanks for everything.
No, thanks for having us and all your guys' support over the years.
And, of course, like all of our guests who appear on the program, Eric, Pete Rotundo, and our good friend Paul Espinoza going to receive a gift courtesy of Embrace the Race. It is the apparel for the horse racing lifestyle. You can embrace your passion at EmbraceTheRace.com. We're going to step away for a quick word from Gainesway and come back and wrap this one up for you. This is the Horse Racing Radio Network.
Power.
It's Ricardo Santana Jr. It's creator to win the Arkansas Derby.
Passion.
Lonnie in front. It's Japan's Derby. Lonnie has beaten Polar River, U Change, and Vale Dory.
Performance.
Mo Hey Man pulls away. And Mo Hey Man remains unbeaten, winning the Fountain of Youth over Zulu.
Gainesway stallion Tappet, a two-time champion sire who was once again number one in 2016, with three major Kentucky Derby contenders, Arkansas Derby winner Creator, UAE Derby hero Lonnie, and Mo Hey Man, dominant winner of the Holy Bowl and Fountain of Youth. In all, Tappet has already produced seven graded stakes horses and four graded stakes winners this year, and has once again proven to be a force in the sales ring as the leading worldwide two-year-old sire with an average of $870,000. Tappet, standing at Gainesway.
Power, passion, performance. You know I'm talking about Gainesway Farm.
Well, a busy show wrapping up here for you on the Equine Forum. We want to thank all of our special guests for being here, including trainer Mary Epler in the first half of the program, announcer Paul Espinoza, Pete Rotundo from the Breeders' Cup, and Eric Zimney, the Vice President of Racing Operations here at Charlestown. It's been a busy couple of hours. We're not done yet. We're back at 4:30 Eastern Time with our exclusive coverage of the eighth running of the $1.25 million Charlestown Classic.
Can't wait. It's going to be fun.
It should be a lot of fun. And don't forget to check out our website if you missed any portion of this show, a podcast available for you, horseracingradio.net, along with interviews of some of the top trainers along the road to the Kentucky Derby. You can see it all, horseracingradio.net. Our thanks to our producer, Lee Delapina, back in our Lexington, Kentucky studio. Chauncey, Sean C., with all of our social media. My beautiful wife, Michelle, on site with us here, pushing all the right buttons. Don't forget, we're back 4:30 Eastern Time today. Make sure you tune in. And, of course, hey, go Steelers.
Go Blackhawks. And good night, Barbados.